B63. Number 2A.
In Absolute Christian Science, we have other renderings for the Christ. For instance, we have as the next Christ leading into all truth. Can you see truth is not capitalized? It's a small t. It really indicates that relationship of principle to idea, how the one truth leads into all truths, in the plural, therefore showing really the relationship of principle to each individual idea, meaning that the Christ is that which takes the one truth and brings out through its self-expression the truth about everything. Now, that is the Christ and not we. Can you see that what I want to impress today is that we let really the Christ work the way the Christ wants to work, and that we are not interfering with the Christ activity, that we are not going to outline for the Christ what he has to bring out, and trust that the Christ leads into all truth, so that we rely on that and see that if we let the Christ operate the way he wants to operate, every single situation will be showing forth the truth, small t. Or similar, Christ furnishes us with absolute evidence. Can you see, not we have to arrive at absolute evidence, but we must let the Christ bring forth in us the absolute evidence. It's again that sense that we let God do, that we let the Christ operate the way he wants to operate, and let the Christ give us the absolute evidence. Actually, that will have a lot to do with the divine mind reading, that the divine mind tells us what the idea is that is at work. Very often, Mrs. Eddy would also, page 66, she would define the Christ as the coincidence or spiritual agreement between God and man. Can you see God and man, the relationship between principle and idea? And says that Christ is Emmanuel, God with us, or the spiritual agreement of God and man, or the divine coincidence of God and man. Can you constantly see that there is that one truth of divine science translated now to the point of individual ideas, of individual man, to the individual situation, bringing to that individual situation the truth, small t, the absolute evidence, so that the Christ manifests itself as absolute evidence. So when we say, well, we must find the absolute evidence, we must be very careful how we want to find it. If we are going to find it ourselves, then it is wrong. If we let the Christ reveal itself to us what is the absolute evidence, then we are working in science. All right. Now, when we go further and translate it to the level of Christian science, then again the Christ is defined completely different than on the other two levels. And it's always then bringing out the relationship between truth and error. That's new. Up to this point, there was no relationship between God and error, between truth and error. It was all in the divine and in the absolute. And only now Christian science is concerned with that relationship and revealing what that relationship is. You know that Christ is also defined as a divine message from God to man, which would be to man, M-E-N. It's not M-A-N, which is different. It means that the Christ is a divine message from God to us or to mortals, and it also already builds the bridge from absolute Christian Science to Christian Science, and says, Christ casts out evils and heals the sick. Now here we have the definition of Christ on the level of Christian Science, shows the relationship of the truth to error as the healing agent. Christ as the healer, as the savior, as the redeemer, that's what we find here. So, I think we see that at once, that this is a completely different attitude or a completely different view or level of thought, where we say, well, what has that Christ to do with error? So, she has that biblical rendering, Christ turns water into wine. That's indicating that the Christ is really improving on the mortal, is improving humanity, that is the nature of the Christ at this point. As the next reference reads, Christ improves on a false sense. A false sense of the relationship to error. If we consider these definitions, I think it's very clear that here the Christ is shown as the Savior, the healer, the physician, and shows that the Christ comes to the flesh, as the definition runs in the glossary, to destroy incarnate error. So we have to be clear that when we think about the Christ, that we are not only thinking about the Christ as in the 5,000-year period. The 5,000-year period, the Christ was constantly that which would come to the sick and heal him, that would come to a situation, an erroneous situation, and would heal that situation. In the 5,000-year period, that was the focus. I just say the focus because I don't want to say that was the only thing, but that was the accent of the Christ, that was the new thing after the Old Testament, that the Christ is something that we can demonstrate by healing the sick and solving problems. But in the 6,000 and 7,000 year period, we must see that we demonstrate the Christ in a different way, or that the Christ has a demand on us to demonstrate something higher than the physical healing, that it must demonstrate how the Christ leads us into all truth in absolute Christian Science, that the Christ in divine science is really that which shows us the ideal of God and demonstrates the ideal of God, which is very different. We have now analyzed the definition or the meaning of Christ through these three categories, but still as that Christ, the Christ as itself. Now, naturally, we have to see that this is a category called Christ that really should be seen as a whole category. So that when we think about Christ, we are thinking about Christ always at once on all the three levels. That we cannot separate the levels. That is impossible. They blend because those levels of science, Mrs. Eddy said, these terms are synonymous, therefore they blend, just as the synonymous term for God, the seventh synonymous term for God, blend When I say mind, I don't have really mind if I without spirit. In order to have mind, it must reflect spirit. If I have mind, it must reflect in some way soul and principle and life, truth and love. Only then mind is really God. If mind also reflects in some measure the other synonymous terms. And so it is with Christ. If I am conscious of Christ, then I must be conscious of that term in all the levels. So that I can't say, well, the Christ is only that which is on a level of divine science, or I am only interested in the Christ as on divine science, because this is the highest level. I want to be on the highest level. I am not going down to the other levels. I am a terrific scientist, and I am a divine scientist, and therefore I don't need the other definition. No, you can't. We cannot split being into parts. Just not possible. So the moment I touch the Christ in divine science, I also touch the Christ in absolute Christian science and in Christian science. And if I contemplate these three levels in regard to Christ, and I ponder it, and I love it, and I see the spiritual impact of it, and the spiritual import of it, and the spiritual implications of it, and if I think about those terms, little by little I only get one tone of Christ. One tone of Christ, which includes all levels. So only then, when we have really that tonality, we can say, well, this is the Christ. It will include all the various aspects of the Christ. And in order to show that, or in order to help that in culturing it, to see the flow really through all the three levels and get the tone of it, just as we said, it's like the Niagara Falls. You see the whole fall in one view, and we don't separate the various stages in that Niagara fall. You say Niagara? I thought something was wrong. Niagara. Niagara. Mm-hmm. So, the Niagara Falls is not in America, huh? It's somewhere way back in Switzerland, huh? But the Niagara Falls. Okay, thank you. So that we see it in one view. And in order to culture it a little bit, I felt that in the next column we have in this chart, that next column may finally help us. In that next column, I tried to epitomize, we come again to epitomizing, epitomize just perhaps in one or two words what has been in the column before, which was science and health. Now in the next one, I just have thought I will bring out about just about three main ideas about the Christ that are indicative of the levels. So don't think that these three are all what one can say about each level, or that they have any numerical value. They don't have. They are only numerated because then afterwards, when we flow through the levels, it is easier to detect what I am saying. So, on the level of divine science, we have seen that the Christ means what? That it means the self-expression, namely the self-expression of God naturally, and not our expression. So that the Christ is the very ability and faculty of God, which says, I express myself constantly at every time and at every place. And what do I express? I express always the whole ideal. That's point two. I always express the whole ideal of God. nothing less but the ideal, not something fragmentary, not something that is insufficient. It's the all-sufficiency of the Christ. The whole ideal is expressed. And then we have seen that Mrs. Eddy defines Christ also as truth, but we must see that it is truth itself, that it is the very nature of truth that is indicated, that says truth is affirmative, truth is that which is self-claiming, self-affirming, self-establishing, self-justifying, that it's that which is by itself always right. That's the tone of truth there. If we go to the level of absolute Christian Science, then we see at the point one that that Christ is self-realization. You can see that that is another tone than self-expression. Self-expression means only that reality or being has within itself the power of constantly expressing itself. But when we have self-realization, then we have that self-expression realizes itself in every detail. So you have the relationship of principle to idea, that it brings the self-realization in every detail. It realizes itself, it manifests itself, so that there is no question, will that expression really realize itself? Will it really have an effect? Will it really bring forth something? We nurture within ourselves that concept that the Christ itself realizes itself. We don't have to realize the Christ. It all should help, really, that one purpose I stated right at the beginning, it should all help to get an inward conscious feeling that the Christ does everything and that we don't have to do it for the Christ, that we don't have to use the Christ, that the Christ uses himself, that the Christ expresses itself, that the Christ realizes itself. So all that metaphysical attitude falls away, which feels, I have to do it. I have to do it. See, that old metaphysical method of affirming truth and denying error is something that we do, whereas in science, the Christ does it. We let the Christ claim itself, realize itself, and so manifest itself. How does that Christ realize itself in every detail? The next point, too, is that the Christ shows the translation of the ideal to the point of ideas, so that the whole ideal of God is constantly expressed and realized in ideas, in every detail, in every situation. So that the ideal is brought forth in every idea as an ideal idea adapted to that situation, whatever that situation is. I will come back to that later on when we do the scientific translation of immortal mind, that we come back to this point, what is meant that the ideal of God translates itself to the point of every idea in an ideal way. What is the ideal of God? Well, the ideal of God is actually the life, truth, and love. That's the person of God, the divine person of God, namely life and truth and love. Mrs. Eddy calls this the Trinity, the divine person. Naturally, divine person is actually a concession, really, to the human language. It's a concession to the old sense that there is a Godhead as Father, Son, and Mother. And today we would translate that really and said, instead of saying it's the person of God, we would say the principle is God. And that principle is a triune principle. Instead of saying that triune principle is Father, Son, and Mother, we would say that triune principle is life, truth, and love. And in this way, translate the biblical symbolism into modern, abstract, metaphysical ideas. That translation from truth to idea, from principle to ideas, that is something that happens, point three, which brings forth the specific truth, plural and small t. It shows that the Christ is that which, on the level of divine science, is the whole truth, and that translates itself on the level of absolute Christian science to the specific truths that are necessary for solving a problem. Therefore, we can see, remember what we have done before, that we arrive at the specific truth of a situation, not through our reversal of an illusion into an idea, not through our metaphysical process of reversing material things and arriving and hinting at the idea that is behind it. That's not science, because in science we have a Christ that does that. Not we doing that metaphysical translation and exchanging of objects of sense for the ideas of soul. We don't do that translation. In science, the Christ does it. And the Christ is telling us what is the specific truth about any situation. Is that clear? Are you quite sure that that is clear? Will you never fall into the trap when other people say they are very opposite? Will you do that? That's the question. Why don't you come out from addition and get into multiplication? Why don't you want to get out of human metaphysics and Christian metaphysics and adopt the science of the Christ? And the Christ says, I'm going to lead you into all truth. The Christ does it. And not our conjecturing. Can you say conjecturing? What may be the truth about the problem? That's human conjectures. And that naturally demands that we use the method of divine mind reading. Because divine mind reading is that the divine mind reads the specific truth and brings out and brings to spiritual understanding the purpose of the Christ idea. And so if you feel that this is esoteric, that this is up in cloud nine, and that it is not practical on the human basis because you have not experienced it, don't fall into that trap. It is only because you have not tried it out long enough and often enough. All things that are of a high value, they don't just fall into our laps. They don't just fall. We have a saying, I don't know if you have that saying in American or English, there was never a master that fell down from heaven, or a master never fell down from heaven. Perhaps that way we can translate it. Meaning, the big things just don't fall into our lap. We have to work for it. We have to work. And don't let yourself be sidetracked by the mystics in Christian science that tell you it falls into your lap because God is always perfect, and therefore there is nothing imperfect in God's universe, and therefore you have it right in your laps. Well, you have it right in your laps, but you don't realize it. That's the point. And therefore, Mrs. Eddy said, the song of Christian Science is work, work, work. Therefore, she has always the ascending way, which says, first you have to ascend through the method of understanding until you know what God is, and then let that translate itself to you and tell us the truth about everything. So we need here at this point, really, that divine mind reading. Divine mind reading does never read mortal mind. That's what is also to be noticed. So often one feels, as a student feels, that with the divine mind we should be able to read mortal mind. Now, this is not possible, but there is some truth in it. What is the truth in it? The divine mind only reads ideas. But then comes the level of Christian Science, which says every idea is the fact about the counterfeit. Therefore, from that revelation of the true idea, by the law of opposites, we can arrive at what is specifically wrong in mortal mind. But only through that way. So that we can read first the truth and not the error. If the divine mind would read directly mortal mind, then the divine mind would have to know mortal mind, then the divine mind would be able to read what is wrong in the mortal mind. But that's not possible because the divine mind does not know mortal mind. But the solution is that we should know what's going on in mortal mind. But that is only possible through those two levels. First, in absolute Christian Science, the divine mind reading only the purpose of good, but that specifically, and therefore you come to the level of Christian Science, and where you see a fact is always a fact that has its counterfeit belief. And therefore, from fact, we arrive at counterfeit.